So I've been asked to go and get something for my grandmother. And while I went out there to get it, I was like trapped and I was held down by four women, like old women, and dragged onto the floor in the bus. Hold my legs, the other one hold the other one on my arms, and they tie my face. So I don't know which one performed it or which one did what. And all I can feel is the pain I was going through.
It happened when I was really young, and it happened like no anesthetic or nothing. I remember crying, and I remember when they was cutting it, it was painful as well. My auntie was holding my leg, and the other auntie was holding another leg, and my mom was sitting behind me. I was lying in the chair, lying her, and the woman was cutting her. I remember screaming, really screaming.
For many women living in the UK, the practice of cutting the genitals has become a harsh reality. 140 million young women and girls have undergone the practice worldwide, and each year more are being taken away to these communities for the procedure to be carried out.
You can't dress in front of your friend and they'll be telling you where's your clitoris. You don't even know where it is, or you don't know what is it about, because you haven't got it, or you haven't even experienced the feeling of it.
It was something everybody was doing, you know. It was just normal. When you was young girl, if you not have it done, it was a big shame. Even the other kids, they might tease you.
So people say, "Oh, don't you get through it?" People went through it, but nobody know what I went through. I went through hell.
Female genital mutilation, or FGM, is when a girl's genitals are partially or totally removed for non-medical reasons. It's an archaic practice and is thought to date back nearly 2,000 years. It's practiced in 28 countries in Western, Eastern and Northeastern Africa.
I come from the Maasai community in Kenya. It's one of the smallest communities, and female genital mutilation has been a big thing for my community. And one of the reasons the Maasai perform FGM is because they believe it's a transition between childhood to adulthood, and there must be some bloodshed. When girls give birth before they get married, that's absolutely unacceptable. So what the community thinks is, if they cut the clitoris of the girls, that means that, you know, that will be reducing their sexual pleasure.
Valentine Koyo lived with the fear of female genital mutilation from when she was just a young girl.
I know people who've gone through it, and my closest friends also. And some of them have had problems with them. Childbirth, they've had complications. And it's a sad thing when you know that this has got no health reasons, and it's the fact that people are going through pain, and you know, the trauma of going through it and living with it is really, really bad. It's accompanied with so many ceremonies, and people come together, they celebrate, they eat and drink, and everybody's happy because they know it's believed to be a transition between childhood to adulthood. And I was shocked to hear that FGM is actually happening in the UK.
It's estimated that 66,000 British young women and girls have suffered from FGM. And each year in the UK, another 24,000 are at risk of being taken overseas for the operation. Nottinghamshire Deputy Police and Crime Commissioner Chris Cutland believes FGM goes unchallenged because of the cultural sensitivity surrounding the practice.
I don't think it's a choice. I think it's something that's that some women are made to do. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about it. I think it seems cultural, so therefore people don't challenge it. I don't think it's cultural. I think it causes so many... it is cultural, but it causes so many problems for women in particular in their later lives, and for girls who are forced into this situation.
Banna is from Gambia. She endured FGM when she was only 14 years old. She moved to the UK afterwards and has since lived in fear. She lost contact with her family after they abandoned her for speaking out against FGM.
I don't want to have anything to do with them. Right now, my dad doesn't talk to me and my family, but I don't care. Because I was depressed and I went through a lot because of this. It's really bad. Your confidence is taken away from you. They're just disappointed in me because my dad thinks that he did a lot for us by bringing us here, paying school, which I appreciate. But what I went through, he's a man, he cannot understand what I went through. So finally, when I got opportunity to come to this country, I was thinking, yeah, I'm going, but I don't want to go back to that country because I don't want to bring out a child that will go back through what I went through.
Female genital mutilation is illegal in the UK and has been for almost 30 years, but there has only been one prosecution to date. Chris says the UK is reluctant to prosecute.
I think we're scared. I think we're scared to prosecute. I think people are scared of being seen as being racist, as not understanding different cultures. I think it's very difficult for women to actually stand up and say it's happened to them. It's a deeply personal and private thing. I think a lot of cultures do actually still believe in it, so it makes it much harder for them then to stand up. And I just think overall there's a complete lack of understanding. It's really, really difficult for women to prosecute their own families. They risk being ostracised. Quite often they'll be in a strange country. They won't know what to do. They don't know what the repercussions are. And for some families it's still seen as absolutely the right thing to do.
Many people associate FGM with Islam, but while it is practiced in some Muslim communities, it actually predates Islam and has no mention in the Quran. Masood Sadiq, who's the president of the Islamic Society of Britain in Leicester, believes this lack of awareness has affected how people view the religion.
I do find it disheartening and a little bit disappointing that people do associate the two together. And it's a sort of thing which the far-right groups like to take advantage of and use it as fuel to argue that Muslims don't belong in this country when, you know, it's got nothing to do with Islam at all. We believe that all humans are born in a perfect state, and so as God's creations, we are created by the hand of God, and so any mutilation or changes that are made to the body after that are not in accordance with the religion.
Hello, you're through to the NSPCC Female Genital Mutilation Helpline. How can I help?
After discovering that more than 70 women and girls as young as 7 seek treatment every month, the NSPCC launched a FGM helpline to protect UK children from the practice.
It's done to children without their consent. It's done to children who are very young, up to the age of 18 even. So therefore, it absolutely constitutes child abuse rather than a cultural practice. Cultural practice is used as an excuse, as a way in which of allowing this practice to continue. Children's services, police, health, education can all work together to tackle it as a form of child abuse. I think it's much easier to name it as that because people can then understand, and there's already a pre-existing framework in which people work to tackle child abuse.
Cam Tandy is the head of child protection operations for the FGM helpline at the NSPCC. She says the line has helped to raise awareness of FGM in the UK.
It's the first national approach to tackling FGM. It's a helpline that we set up that anybody up and down the UK can call in. And there was never such a mechanism of reporting or talking about FGM nationally before, and it came about with local agencies specialising within the field of FGM wanting such a helpline. We've had 198 contacts, and that's through emails, text messages or voice calls, and I think over 80 of those have been referrals. So referrals are where we've passed it on to the police and children's services for them to investigate further.
The Metropolitan Police received 186 FGM case referrals since January 2009. 8 were recorded as potential offences under the 2003 FGM Act, and 11 arrests were made. But criminal laws in Britain preventing FGM are often criticised because of the lack of prosecutions. Terry Harmon, who's a a family lawyer at Nelson Solicitors in Leicester, says the government is failing to react sooner.
There is a programme at the moment where we're looking at how to safeguard and trying to ensure that head teachers, health visitors, etc. are aware that it's an important issue that now needs to be addressed. But it's a little bit too late, and I think it's with all the campaigning from all those pressure groups bringing it to the fore constantly, and of course having the Zero Tolerance Day every year on the 6th of February, just reminding the government that this isn't going to go away, these pressure groups are not going to stop, and in fact they're getting bigger and better by the year, and they've got to start listening, and I think the government is now beginning to listen.
Terry also believes there would be more prosecutions if family laws were used.
People in the community are not aware of the legislation that's there to protect children, and they are often extremely surprised and actually delighted to learn that there is laws in, there are laws in the country that can protect the children without criminalising the rest of the family. So I can't see that there's any other reason other than there's a complete lack of knowledge that there are protective laws here.
Intimacy is a large part of any loving relationship, but for Banna, the idea of sex is too painful to consider. She's been trying for almost 2 years now, but is always in too much pain. Despite her partner being originally unaware of FGM, she says he's been supportive throughout their relationship.
She come from a totally different part of where I come from, and he doesn't know things like that. He told the guys, he knows about it, but men get circumcised. But he never knew that women go through that because he doesn't understand it. So, but we've been friends for 7 years before I start dating him. So that make it easier because he knows the pain I was going through. That's the only way I got to be with him for this long. But the rest, it never lasts. Because I don't want anybody to see me or go down on me or do anything. I can't. I just have to push them away. When you come to sex, that's another thing. There's no feeling there because you don't have anything to simulate you. All you need to use is KY gel. But how long can you be using gel just to be in the mood to have sex? It's just like torture.
Girls and women who have endured FGM are known to also suffer psychological problems. Research by the government found that 80% of women in practicing African communities suffered mood or anxiety disorders. Professor of Gynaecology at Guy's and St Thomas's Hospital in London, Janice Reimer, believes these psychological impacts often go unreported.
That's what we don't know a lot about, is the psychological impact of FGM. And when we see it in our clinics with the women who get flashbacks of the original operation, but in their day-to-day activities, I'm sure it's with them, you know, there all the time. And I think, you know, I'm sure we underestimate the psychological impact of this terrible procedure.
Come today. Speak to me.
Janice runs a specialist FGM clinic in London with public health specialist Comfort Momo. They specialise in the reversal procedure of FGM, where they open up the scar that was previously closed during the type 3 procedure. Comfort says these clinics are vital.
This clinic is very key in the sense that we only have few numbers of clinic that supports women and girls who've been through FGM. And then looking at the figures that we have at national level here in the UK, 66,000 women and girls that lives in UK have undergone some form of FGM. So we need to have great numbers of clinics for them so that they can come to seek help and support, and also looking at their emotional, psychological well-being as well, which is very important.
One of the things that we're very worried about is that we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, because a lot of the people we're seeing are the educated women who've come over here. They want to integrate into the society here. They want to have the FGM reversed. There's a lot of people living in this country who haven't got the opportunity or the education or the know-how as to how to access services. So I think there's a lot of women out there who've had FGM performed, who would like to come to the clinics, like to get some advice, perhaps have it reversed, but who haven't got access to the services.
Many women believe that FGM is necessary to ensure acceptance by their community. They are unaware that FGM is not practiced in most of the world.
Everybody else was doing it. All my older sisters had it done. And all my cousins had it done.
It's got to start with the younger generation thinking, I'm not going to let this happen to my sister. I wish it hadn't happened to me.
We should never let cultural practices stand in anybody's way.
It is mutilation, that is the right word to use, where you're causing distress and so much harm, there is no justification for it whatsoever.